Welcome in, everyone, to 32 Beat Writers Beyond the Beat. Wow, that was a weird one. I'm going to restart. No, I'm not. We're just going to go with it. Welcome in to Beyond the Beat with 32 Beat Writers, that is, as I can see. As you can see, we're a little bit rusty here, but hey, I'm with Matt Olson, our head content manager. How are you doing, Matt? How are you doing? Better than me, I hope.
It's been good. There's been obviously a lot of hype coming into the draft. You know, everyone is smarter than everyone else this time of year. And it's always fun to speculate. So it is a fun time of year.
Yeah, you mean that Michael Penix today is going to be in the first round? I think that was something we saw.
I think the top half of the first round, right?
That was definitely the quote. And I think that was from one of the big men himself, like Ian Rappaport. Just seems kind of, everything's crazy. And, you know, the J.J. McCarthy stuff, maybe I can believe going in the first round. But Penix, top half of the first round, you're telling me five. I think everybody's just trying to put a quarterback at Denver and the Vikings and all that stuff. And that's the way to force it. But anyways, hey guys, today, it's maybe been a while since we've been speaking at you here, but today we have a lot of good stuff for you. We're going to be coming at you a lot in the near future. We also have a big guest coming up just secured today. In the next couple of weeks, we should be talking to one Matt Harmon of Reception Perception. Very excited about that. And we're going to be doing some other interviews with draft analysts as well as beat writers and such after the draft so that we can get a real head start on this offseason here before training camp start. But in the meantime, we have some really awesome news for you. We keep bringing new things for you on the website. And Matt Olson, obviously, you are the man behind all of that. You have helped us with like some hosting server stuff. It's more than I know about everything, but now the website is just like snappy fast. You've done a lot of great work behind the scenes on that. So thank you. And then for everybody who hasn't taken a look at that yet, you've also given them a little bit of a gift. If they go to the premium section where you can get all the player news, premium articles and things of that nature, and you use code PODCAST, that's PODCAST, you're going to get 50% off your first month. So go ahead and do that. Try us out. And you're going to get all of our summaries weekly. And then during training camp, you'll get those daily. So it's a lot of news coming at you. And that is the best way to take advantage of what we have to offer for you to keep up with that. So, yeah, that's what I have. You have anything to add on the website there, Matt?
No, I think it's just, it's the database is getting so big and the news is coming in so quickly. And, that kind of even segues into some of the articles coming out and whatnot. And we've done a good amount of free content, which is always nice to see. I have to give a shout out to one of our content writers, Milo, who is currently in the midst of doing hidden gem articles in the draft. Just looking beyond those first and second rounds and the constant guys that are getting mocked to players who do have a chance to perform and could it be, your third, fourth round rookie draft guys. Those are the guys that win you leagues. So, we've seen it every year. So getting a little edge and checking in on those guys a little early never hurts. So big props to Milo for doing that. We actually might see him on a podcast or two here in the future.
Yeah, he's really been cranking it out. We really appreciate him. He kind of likes to stay behind the scenes, but his articles have been really, really good. I've got to dig into his most recent one on the running back hidden gems. I think that was the most recent one to come out, but he's done wide receivers as well at this point. So he's just working his way there through those position groups, done an excellent job with that. And like Matt said, we do have a bunch of free content on there for you as well. And we'll always try to do stuff like that. But if you want the really good stuff and the stuff that's going to keep you the most up to date on the news, that's what you'll get with that subscription there. And you'll also be helping us out. The more that you help us out, the more we're able to bring to you with that money. We don't, at least at this point, really take anything from the site. Everything is put directly back into the services that we offer you. So buy the website a beer or something like that. So anyways, also, we have some really fun stuff that we're doing now. Every once in a while, we're out on the Reddit board there for Dynasty Fantasy Football. We've partnered with them, and the second Friday of each month now, we're doing an AMA and Ask Me Anything. And we had our first one the other week, which you really helped power through, Matt, along with Zach, who's been on the show with us before, one of our founding fathers. Our next AMA, if you guys want to be involved with that, ask us some questions about whatever, is Friday, April 12th, and that'll be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. Along with that, we're also looking to do some lives of the show. You can call, not call in, but eventually I want to offer that. But you can message in maybe, and we can answer some of your questions live. We'll do some Twitter spaces hopefully this year as well, just to give you guys some opportunity to talk with us and us to talk with you. So, in fact, I'm looking into getting a voicemail line set up. So I don't know. We'll see. I can't give you all my personal number because, you know, I'd be way too popular. But we'll see about doing that. Love to get some of your guys' voices directly on the show. But Matt, talk to me a little bit. We're going to give you like 60 seconds or whatever to give yourself a soapbox, and then we'll get right back into the news here. Sure. What do you got for us this week, man?
I mean, you kind of already brought it up, but that first Reddit AMA was quite an interesting one. We do have an article on the site that does break it down just by Q&A, but I'm still in shock about how many questions we got on there about, you know, how do you guys look at news? How do you decipher news? How do you decide what's newsworthy? How do you shift through the minutia of Twitter and figure it all out? And I've said it 100 times. I'll say it 100 more. Like, I truly believe we might be one of the only accounts that one sources everything from beat writers, from coaches, from the source. And we don't see that. You don't see that a lot in the space at all. And there was some good dialogue with some users on there, just kind of giving them that. And I think, you know, the biggest thing, and Zach alluded again to it earlier, is like, we're talking to beat writers. They're going to be on our show regularly. They have been on our show regularly. We have constantly making connections, and we want to bring that to you guys. And the goal is always just to bring factual information. Now, I'm not going to say it's permanent information, and things change. But man, who's better connected than those guys to give an opinion? So keep an eye out for that. Join us if you can Friday the 12th. And, looking forward to another good one.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good questions over there. It's interesting to see what people have to ask and what's floating around in all y'all's brains. So, moving right into the news here, I guess. And so, we've had a lot of stuff happen around the NFL, but most recently, of course, the biggest news here is Stephon Diggs being traded here to the Texans down in Houston. I mean, that just kind of came, I think, maybe right before noon or right around noon yesterday. And obviously everybody's feeling the fallout of that, talking about whether or not the Bills should have or shouldn't have and how it affects the Texans. And so that's what I want to know. How does the Diggs trade affect both the Texans and the Bills? And of course, we're going to answer that from a fantasy perspective. So Matt, what do you think? Does this affect Josh Allen in a big way? Do we need to be worried about him this year?
You know, it's funny. We tweeted the news, and then I want to say it was Max, instantly went out. We were like, we have to figure out, you know, what Diggs' trajectory was, so on and so forth. Look at some of those numbers. And I remember, I think I was reading some article, and Diggs was the wide receiver 27 from week 7. You know, that doesn't inspire hope in terms of Diggs going back to being a wide receiver one for fantasy purposes. Obviously the biggest loser, I guess not obviously, the biggest loser is probably, or losers is probably the rest of the receivers of any position on the Texans. Biggest winner has to be Stroud. Yeah. But I don't think it impacts the Bills all that much. And that's kind of what I was going to segue to you is like, what are your thoughts on the Bills? What do you, What are you seeing there?
Yeah, I mean, the question is, yeah, how good is Diggs? It was, you mentioned, from week seven on, he just was not the guy, it seemed, whether that be because of the personal issues. And mm-hmm. we mustn't forget that when he left out of, you know, I didn't go back through and get any quotes or anything, but when he left for Minnesota with the trade, mm-hmm. I don't think that everything was necessarily hunky-dory there either. I think there were some, you know, rumors at the very least about some grumblings, and, you know, mm-hmm. he wanted the contract, which of course he got from the Bills after that trade. So I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything, but I feel like if things were a little bit smoother in the Bills locker room, maybe the trade wasn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so whether the decline last year was because of personal reasons or on field reasons, they happened. And I think that migrates with him to the Texans. Now, he does not have to be Stephon Diggs of old. But so to answer your question, I guess, you know, Stephon Diggs, he still did have almost 1,200 yards last year and 8 touchdowns. So, you know, weeks 1 through 7 do count. He did reach like a top speed of 21 something in the final week of his career, actually, with the Bills. I think he reached his top speed in the last game he played with them, either 17 or 18, I forget which. So, yeah, health-wise, I don't know. Maybe he isn't a problem. We'll have to talk to our fantasy injury doctor that we have connected with us. But I don't know. Looking at Josh Allen specifically, like if we're going to talk about just a quarterback perspective, I feel like, yeah, it doesn't hurt him as much as it perhaps could hurt some other quarterbacks. And the reason I say that is because we're probably already going to see somewhat of a decline in some aspects of Josh Allen's game. For instance, last year he had 15 rushing touchdowns, which is, you know, the previous high up to that point was 9. Mm-hmm. That's very significant. You know, chances are he's probably not going to rush for 15 touchdowns again. Now, of course, he had 29 passing touchdowns, which was not a career low, but since his sophomore season, that's a low. You know, the last couple of years up to that, it was 37, 36, 35, and the 29. And then, of course, you're adding 15 touchdowns. So he had more touchdowns in general. So I do expect that to just come back because you're both losing Gabe Davis, who is not consistent but was productive. And then you're losing Stephon Diggs. So I think he does come back a little bit. But you got Dalton Kincaid now. If he steps up a little bit, mm-hmm. maybe if you can bring a rookie in there, that helps balance things out a bit. But, you know, if you have a great season from a rookie, you're maybe hoping for 800 yards. Like anything more than that is like amazing, right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think it takes a step back, but I don't know if it changes how much I'm drafting Josh Allen, you know? So,
no, I agree. The regression's going to come in the rushing scenario and the touchdowns there, but. I mean, I guess if I'm picking a winner on the Bills, maybe it's Shakir. I mean, I liked what I saw last year in limited time. You mentioned Kincaid. I think that's an mm-hmm. obvious one.
Yeah.
Because clearly, and I guess the bigger thing there is we saw Josh Allen trusted him completely as a rookie. There's mm-hmm. no reason that Kincaid couldn't take over that go-to player. I think hit the nail on the head. They're going to draft someone. It's almost inevitable at this point. You know, they're going to use a day 2, day 1, maybe, mm-hmm. but definitely a day 2 pick on a receiver. And I don't know who I'd want that to be. I honestly haven't dug too deep into that, but there's a good amount out there that I think would fit that offense pretty well. It at the end of the day, it is a good offense. Whoever does go there is going to be put in a good position to immediately be on the field and immediately succeed. So,
yeah, I think it is interesting. I will say I looked at, and forgive me while I look at my phone here, but I saw from 2022 Warren Sharp late 2023, or early 2023 rather, in April of last year, he tweeted that in 2022, when not targeting Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen averaged 56.9 completion percentage, a 51% success rate, 0.19 EPA per attempt, and an 86.2 passer rating. Now, here's the big thing, a 13-9 touchdown to interception ratio. So obviously the things that stand out there are the completion percentage, and then the touchdown to interception ratio. But, you know, that's 2022 data. I was struggling to find anything from 2023 in the time that I had to research this. But the point does remain, prior to this last year, it was really important to Josh Allen that Stephon Diggs was there. So I do think there is a risk. I don't think Josh Allen is bad. But I mean, I've talked about this regarding other players, like Joe Burrow gets Ja'Marr Chase. Now, of course, he was injured, so there's that. But gets Ja'Marr Chase, and wow, he's an elite quarterback. Josh Allen gets Stephon Diggs, and wow, he's an elite quarterback. Mm-hmm. Tua gets Tyreek Hill, and wow, look at, you know, how good he is. So it's just, I do think that it matters. So, but the question is, like, you know, Josh Allen, if he is an elite QB, it shouldn't matter too much. The guy that I really want to know how this will impact, especially, is James Cook. From a receiving perspective, we saw some weird usage with him last year. Some games, you know, he'd get, you know, five or six targets, and in other games he would get borderline nothing. And we did see his attempts climb towards the back half of the year, where Diggs was not doing as much. So with the change that we saw at coordinator, I wonder if running the ball and James Cook were more of a trend anyways. And so I'm interested to see how that plays out, and I wouldn't be surprised. And of course, I'm selfishly hopeful for that and my dynasty team. So, yeah, I don't know. That's all I have on that. Do you have anything else before we move on?
No, I think, you know, I just was skimming through some mocks here, and just to put a name out there that I've seen, you know, getting picked at 28 is A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. I think that could be a great addition to that team. Bring some speed, bring some size, you know, kind of essentially what Diggs was. But yeah, from there, roll.
All right, sounds good. So the NFL, some people may think this is kind of odd to bring up, but the NFL implemented a new rule for the kickoff. I like it. There has been some people who've criticized it because they think the league is too soft, but actually, in my opinion, this makes the league more interesting and adds a playback into the game. I don't know about you. I did not give a crap if I missed the opening kickoff of a single game last year. I did not plan to sit down and make sure that I was definitely watching it anytime the kickoff started, because I knew how it was going to end. Is going to end with a touchback. 80% of the time, that's exactly what happened. And anything that was returned probably got out to the 25 at best. So, you know, other than a couple times, including the last one this year with, what was it, Andrew Beck, the fullback from the Jets, I think, returned one the last game of the year he played. So, but anyways, they're adopting the XFL kickoff. It's going to force a lot more returns. I'm not going to go through all the rules right now. But the thing that people need to take away is that we are definitely 100% going to be having a lot more returns. And I know in a lot of leagues that return yardage is not counted. In my league, in the Dynasty League that I play in order to make some players more relevant or interesting, we actually do count return yardage. It's half the amount of rushing yards. So instead of 1 point for every 10 yards, it's 1 point for every 20, I think is how we have that set up. So if you get 20 yards on a return, be that a punt or a kick in this case, you'll get a point. And then, of course, if they score a touchdown, I think that people, because that's an interesting aspect to the game, that's going to be added. Maybe you should look into that. If your league doesn't do that already, think about it this year, because it's going to make the game interesting. The way that people have to line up and they cannot move, they're going to be the defense and the offense, or I should specify the receiving team and the kicking team, are going to be lined up 5 yards away from each other. I think it's on like the 35 yard line and the 40 yard line. And when the ball either A hits the ground or B is caught by the receiving team, then the kicking team can move, which means that nobody's going to have a running head start. And all it takes they're going to be lined up evenly across the field, is going to be one person to get turned the wrong way by the receiving team, and that guy might be gone. We are going to see some big plays this year. I think it's going to be super interesting, and I think it does matter a little bit for fantasy, because you saw, for instance, Cordarrelle Patterson signed by the Pittsburgh Steelers immediately after this rule comes into place. He's got Arthur Smith now as offensive coordinator. Do you think that that was a coincidence? Heck no, it was not. So that's just like kind of, you know, that's a minor, you know, player that may or may not be relevant anyways. But I'm telling you, if your league, which most leagues do, I think, count touchdowns, regardless of whether or not they count the yardage, it is going to sway some fantasy games this year. And I'm going to be looking early to see if there's any guy that I may be wanting to draft anyways. And maybe that's a little bit of a tiebreaker if I think they're going to be on the return team this year, because each team's going to have two returners, most likely, in those spots. And I'm going to be looking at that. I do think it might be relevant, and it may win you or lose you a week this year. So don't be the guy on the wrong side of that and be mad at the end of that Sunday.
I think what you're saying is go draft Marvin Mims and Greg Dortch.
Greg Dortch?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Wide receiver two now, you know?
I think he resigned just a couple of days ago, I think.
You know, but Keyshawn Nixon, 26 20-plus yard returns last year. There you go.
Yeah, I think it's going to matter. I do. I really do. I don't know how, and I'm not saying I'm a savant here and I know exactly everybody who it's going to be, but who was the first player that you named again?
Mims, maybe? Marvin
Mims. Mims. Yeah. Well, they should use him anyways better.
And, yes.
Hopefully they do. Jerry Judy's gone, so giving him an opportunity. And yeah, I mean, especially in like a best ball league, if like, I don't know, I'd have to check to see. I'm not like huge into best ball, but that would be a thing to watch. That may impact just a couple of shots that I would take for sure. So I do think it matters. That's all my point is. I think it matters.
It matters.
Sounds good. Another thing that matters here is Dak Prescott has all the cards and he is holding them very close to his chest. The Cowboys have zero leverage in a contract extension situation here. He cannot be tagged. He cannot be traded unless he approves on either of those things, which why would you approve that when you're going to be headed to free agency next year and probably be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL? As it seems, any new quarterback who's within the top 10 get the highest paid, you know, marker. So what do you think is going to happen there? Do you think they get a deal done this year? Are you worried about your Cowboys that you have, or Dak, or anybody else, headed into not this year, but 2025? Is it too early to project things or speculate on that right now?
Yeah, because Jerry Jones is an insane human being. I mean, I don't like to get ahead of it. That's not how I play fantasy. I think when you do start doing that, that's how you kind of get stuck in that always rebuilding mode. That people always seem, there's always half 50% of your league that constantly seems to be rebuilding. And I think it's because of situations like this. If they move on from Dak, they have no one. They're probably going to be too good to draft someone. I don't see a scenario where the Cowboys give up so much capital to move up in the draft. It's just not something they traditionally do. I really don't see a situation where the Dak doesn't sign. I think at some point, Jerry Jones is going to realize that he doesn't really have a choice, to your point. He's going to throw a bag at him, and we're not going to ever need to talk about this again.
I hope so. It seems like for the past, I mean, what did he, his last contract was only a couple of years, maybe three or whatever it was. And before that, it was every single year we were talking about that.
Was that because of the ankle though? Was there something?
I don't remember. Yeah.
That's
the thing with him though, is he's played this game before and come out on top. They already have played this game. They know what they're going to have to do, which is why it's interesting to me that it hasn't been done. They should have done it last offseason when the Cowboys had a little bit to work with there. But now, I mean, at this point, Dak has no reason to sign. I mean, even if he has a cruddy year or a mediocre year this year, who's not going to pay him? We just saw the Falcons give a bag to Kirk Cousins. Exactly. He's coming off an Achilles tear. So that's my only reservation. And where I'm not saying I'd like disagree with you, but that's where I would wonder, you know, could he just be like, you know what, I'm going to go to whoever pays me the most next year. And thank you, Jerry, for everything that you've given me. But I'm going to go somewhere where, like, I know for sure that I'm going to be paid. Like, this sounds crazy.
It's quite possible.
Like, I'm looking at the top of the draft, and some people really want, for instance, the Patriots to trade back. And I'm sure there's some Washington fans that want them to trade back. But like, if they do, I feel like the Patriots, that's like the only thing. Like, if you have a hint that you may be able to do that, and you know that like a Dak deal isn't going to be done, which you shouldn't know without, like, you know, insider information that you shouldn't have. But like, if the Patriots moved back to build, or the Washington Commanders did, that's the only thing I can think of. Like, can you imagine Dak going to the Commanders next year? Like, they trade back, they grab some additional firepower, and then next year they sign the Cowboys quarterback. I mean, that's a pot. I don't.
It's possible.
Yeah, I think it's nuts. It probably won't happen. But I was trying to put some scenarios out there to see, like, I wonder what could happen. So
maybe Jahan Dotson will actually be relevant then.
Yeah. I worry about that guy, anyways. But. Okay, well, let's move into a part here. You've worked a little bit on this. Matt Miller put out a 7-round NFL mock draft. I think he's the only guy that I've seen ever do that, which is awesome. That's a lot of work, so it was awesome to see that. Regardless of what you think about that and the virility, is that an I don't know if that's an appropriate word or not for this situation, but who is somebody you went through and you looked at, like, the third round or later? Who are some players that you pulled out of there that you're like, ooh, I like this landing spot, or I like, you know, this player in this situation? Tell me a little bit about that and what you saw.
Sure. I mean, these are guys that you've probably heard the name. It might be on, you might have seen someone write about them. If they're not on your radar, get them on your radar as third, fourth round rookie guys. Obviously, landing spots are huge here because opportunity is huge. But everyone that I looked through here, I feel like if they land in even a marginally decent spot, they have tools that will get them on the field. And the first one is Jalen McMillan. You know, he's slated to New England at the 68th pick. Again, do I love the New England landing spot? Not right now, but he's young. And who knows if they end up with Daniels. I think there's no, then this pick's even better. 77% of his routes, he was able to create separation. That was pretty high up there last year. And I think a lot of people forget he's a year removed from 1,109. Mm. You know, like last year, and I should have wrote this down, but I want to say he was like 504, 506. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that was Adunze, you know, coming on strong and so on and so forth. But this kid has talent. And if he was drafted last year and the numbers he put up and all that, he'd probably be a higher pick. But overall, he passes the eye test for me. And all these guys do. And that's kind of why they're on my little list here. The next one would be Jalen Wright from Tennessee, currently slated to go to Cincinnati, pick 80. The recent signings, the Zach Moss, the, you know, Chase Brown snare, that doesn't scare me at all. As a UT season ticket holder and a very good friend, Nathan, who does a UT-specific podcast, the YY8 podcast. We were talking earlier tonight about this, and there's not a lot of running backs that are able to get separation once you get into that second level. And he's able to just make he can turn DBs. And that's something you don't see a lot from a guy who's shifting and gaining speed. Hmm. And he can bang it inside and out, and he makes guys miss. And we saw a similar guy to this in a similar offense, but at the same school, named Alvin Kamara, who was completely underutilized by Butch Jones. I hope none of my league is listening, but I feel like they kind of already know this, but I have a death taxes and Tennessee running backs fantasy philosophy dating back to Jamal Lewis. But you could put Arian Foster in there. I'm sure everyone knows that name. That's over 20 years old. you have Travis Henry before that. I mean, UT just puts out productive running backs. I don't know what it is. The system doesn't matter. The coach doesn't matter. It's just a weird connection. And maybe it's because I'm so close to it, but this kid's going to be something. I like what I see. Passes the eye test. He's on the list.
Yeah. Jalen Wright has really been, I've seen his name in several spots now. I think there's some real people who really like him. Sorry, you can move on, but I just
want to know.
He's really been gaining a little bit of steam recently.
And, I'm kind of worried about that. You know, obviously, pick 80 in the draft is the third round. You know, it's not where it's where you start to get on people's radar from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, and, we are the, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, sometimes the kings of the offseason hype trains. Not that I'm trying to start one here because it's only going to hurt me, but I could see that one, to your point, starting pretty quickly on this kid.
It's hard to get ahead when everybody knows who you like. Yeah, I believe.
Exactly. Yeah. Moving on, though, next guy would be Taj Washington out of USC. Again, don't love the landing spot, but love the talent. He's slated to Indy at the 151st pick. So we're getting a little later now, getting a little bit more fun. Some really interesting stuff on him. I mean, he was second in separation in all of college last year behind Roman Wilson. I think separation is, and I should have said this when we were talking about McMillan, but I think separation is that in yards after the catch are such key stats for finding fantasy production from college to the pros. Those are not things that you can teach at all. You can't teach a guy how to separate better. You can teach him how to be a better route runner that can lead to separation, but it that in yards after the catch are sometimes just, you know, you got that fight in you and you find a way to do it. He was also second in explosive score. I mean, the guy just got it done. It's essentially weighting each prospect's target percentage against yards per target at every level of the field. And he ranked second there among all college wide receivers. I think that's an awesome, awesome indicator of future success. Now, again, we're talking with all these guys at this point. They need to get the opportunity. So camp is going to be huge. Injuries, I hate to say it because he never wished for injuries, but that's a big part of this. You know, Indy in this case has two really good receivers. We'll say a good receiver, an okay receiver, and then a kind of
I think there's room. Yeah, no, I think
there is. You know, they don't have an established tight end. I feel like I've got to get off the Mo Alley Cox train at some point.
Yeah, as much as we'd all like the monster of a man to be bigger than he is, it's tough. But
again, just from, again, passes the eye test, like what I've seen so far, name to keep on your radar. And then this one kind of hurts because of the Diggs trade and where he's mocked, but I still like the talent. Anaya Smith out of A&M. He was slated to Houston at the 247th pick. This guy, if you watch any of his tape, which me and Zach did a little bit before this, we started this podcast, you type in his highlight reel and it's not three plays. Mm-mm. You know, it's a 5-minute long video of him just cleaning up after the catch.
Yeah.
You know, he's a solid route runner and he is tough to tackle. Again, things you cannot teach. And that's another big thing I look for in finding sleepers. You have to find the intangibles. And these four guys, they all have intangibles that I like. So I wanted to get them on your radar. I know Zach wants to cap this off with one of his own. So who do you got?
Oh, no, you're good. And I'll just to tag on to Anaya Smith there for a second. Yeah, we were looking at him. It's just, and I did see him at the Senior Bowl. He had a couple nice catches that I really liked. One really up the seam there in some 11-on-11 periods. And I was like, ooh, who's that? I thought it was my guy, Jamari Thrash, but it was actually Anaya, who again, they're actually, I think, somewhat similarly sized, Smith being at like 190. But yeah, he's just, I think the word we maybe used was like twitchy. He just seems really difficult to get your hands on. Punt returning or whatever that be after the catch. Yeah, and the punt returns are a great example of that. You know, if you can do that, then typically that can translate to after the catch as well, which is just great to see. So, yeah, I've really liked the Marshawn Lloyd. Of course, again, another Senior Bowl guy that I saw. So, of course, but I just – Matt Miller does, to the Giants in the fourth round. And I think this is relatively possible. I think somebody else was connecting Marshawn Lloyd with the Giants in the past week or so. And this year, just with running backs, I really think you're just hoping for, you know, long term, I don't think you're going to get a ton of running backs this year that are going to be really high impact players for your fantasy team, you know, 3 years from now. Probably not going to happen. I think you're hoping for like a Damian Pierce with upside maybe, or something like that. And a Marshawn Lloyd, something like that. Not the exact type of player as Damian Pierce, but rather you're hoping for an immediate opportunity, even though they have a little bit later draft capital, like a third or a fourth round pick. You're hoping that the running backs you're interested this year are getting third or fourth round and not like a fifth or sixth round capital. There's going to be a lot of, you know, cluster busters this year to like, and what that's going to be is the draft capital. And if Marshawn Lloyd gets that, if he gets a fourth round or better draft capital and a decent opportunity, like what the Giants would offer. Yeah. I'm going to be totally all in on that. That's totally vacated there. With the Giants, and that would be a really great opportunity. They're going to draft somebody, I would hope, and the third or fourth round is not a super high cost compared to a first round or a contract for Saquon Barkley, and so it would make sense for them to make some sort of move there, you know, at that point or later in the draft. And if Marshawn Lloyd's the guy, hey, I'm going to take that all day.
Absolutely. I mean, you're not turning down 4.4 speed, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So... well, hey, before we head out here, Matt, I have one last opportunity to give people anything that you want before we go.
No, I think, you know, yes. But you alluded to it. There's a lot of stuff coming up. We're about to get into the prime time of the offseason. We got the draft coming up. We have camps coming up. We have three teams that have already started their offseason. You know, rookie camp is almost a month and few days away. So it's there's a lot that's going to happen. And there were a good amount of rookies last year that flashed in rookie camp. I remember Zay Flowers was one of them. He's probably the one that stands out the most to me, but we're gonna have that news for you guys. We're gonna have the daily camp breakdowns, who's flashing, who's getting the opportunities, who's and also who isn't. You know, they say you learn more from failure than success. You know, knowing who not to draft and who's not getting the love is just as important. So keep an eye out for that. We'll be bringing it to you on the podcast, the website, you name it. We're here for you guys.
Yeah. And thanks again, everybody, for joining us here. Like Matt said, make sure to check out the website. Use that code podcast for 50% off your first month. You're going to get a lot of stuff for the price. Don't forget to like, rate, and review, and repost to help out this show. Also, if you haven't yet, give us a follow on Twitter. Maybe you haven't even done that, and you just happen to find us here on your favorite podcast feed. For Matt Olson and the rest of the 32B Writer staff, I'm Zach Heide. Thanks, and we'll see you later.